Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and we are so excited that we are back for a new season. Yay! I'm joined here today by Michael Patterson and Sherry Patterson, and we're just going to share a little bit about our previous season and what we have coming up for this year, and we're so excited. In later episodes, you'll be hearing from other members of the Black Awareness Association. And for today, I'll have Michael go ahead and introduce himself.
I'm Michael Patterson, longtime resident of Juno, graduated Juno Douglas High School, been here most of my life, father of two, and married and loving it, and happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Christina.
Hi, I'm Sherry Patterson, President of Black Awareness Association. And as Christina's saying, we're just reintroducing ourselves to the community as we begin a new season. I've been in Juno for over 30 years, me and my little family. We are loving our community, and we love this show and what it brings to our community. And we look forward to many more seasons of this culture-rich conversation.
All right. Well, I think it would be helpful to share with our listeners how Culture Rich Conversations came to be in the first place for those who don't know the history and maybe are just tuning in for the first time.
Well, I'd like to jump in here and just say that in 2020, in the midst of all of the COVID, the George Floyd event and other cultural episodes that were going on, it was quite a bit. The pot was boiling high, and we wanted to do something. We didn't know what we wanted to do, and K2 reached out to us and offered us this platform, and we're grateful for that. We jumped in afraid because none of us had ever done anything like this before, but I'm so glad that we did. 2020 was a very hard year, very hard on so many levels, and it gave us an outlet to talk about what was on our minds, especially where the racial uproars and Mr. George Floyd's death was concerned.
Thank you. And Michael, can you share a little bit about your involvement with the Black Awareness Association and your contributions to some of the previous shows?
Yes, I had the opportunity to host one of the shows with a couple of longtime friends of mine who are also longtime residents. One has moved, well, they both have moved since that time. But it's been a long process with the Black Awareness Association, and I love it, hosting the family dinners, mm-hmm. and the gospel show, helping sell tickets or sell pies in that capacity, or pretty much anywhere that I'm needed. And I love it because I think it's greatly important, shall I say, to have that sort of involvement with not only the Black community, but helping get the Black community out to the Juno community as a whole. So I continue to do so.
What are some of your favorite shows? And I'll chime in on this too, but any that stand out to you from our previous season?
Well, I love the fact that we did this afraid. And you could probably tell if we went back to the very first show that we did and how we presented it. Yeah, we were like deers in headlights, so to speak. But we did it. And so that very first one is important to me. I wouldn't necessarily say favorite, but it was important because it gave us a foundation, so to speak. I'll say that. And I love it. I'll just say one of my favorite that just sticks out in my mind is the librarian we had from, I believe, Florida, from Miami.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Loved her. Very articulate, very smart, intelligent, and she shared her stuff. And I'd really like to see us speak with her again. I love the Martin Luther King show that we did with Dr. Patterson in Anchorage and Pastor Bobby Lewis, who comes here to do the gospel workshop. And I got to host that one. And it was, for me, very, very touching. These are men who have lived and have experienced things as far as their walk in trying to bring justice and freedom and equality for us. So it was very touching to me. And some of the stories shared just really, really touched me. And so those two sticks out in my mind. I know there are many, but those two just stands out in my mind.
I'm a little partial to the shows that were musically themed.
Okay.
And so I really enjoyed the one where we interviewed Miss Lori Grace.
Okay.
And Charles Dickerson, mm-hmm. the third, mm-hmm. and he was the orchestra conductor. He's a black orchestra conductor. And I had no idea before prepping for that show that there were so few black orchestra conductors and that it was actually very difficult to become an orchestra conductor in the first place and some of the barriers to doing that as a person of color. So I hope that we'll get to hear a little bit more from him this year. I think that would be amazing. And of course, the Supremes. When we interviewed the formerly known as the Supremes, let me make sure that I say that politically correctly. But yeah, that was one of my favorite shows as well. Yeah.
This is a little biased. I'd have to say my favorite show was the one that I had the opportunity to moderate, and it was on toxic masculinity. I think I was surprised at some of my friends' answers. I think I was surprised to, like, when I heard myself say some of the things that I had been ingrained in my own life and the way I went about things, how I was raising my son. And I was surprised to kind of listen back to it and be like, that's okay. You know, when you hear it coming out, even if it's to you and you know you think it, like, to hear it out loud, sometimes it changes things. But the biggest reason I'd say is because of the feedback I received from the community. I was really surprised. I was surprised. I had some, I'd say, maybe 10 different women say something to me about it, and I was surprised, A, that they heard it mm-hmm. and that they knew it was, but one of them said to me that they had a son who was of a different race, and they had no idea about some of the things that we had brought up and how it affected us going forward. They had no idea where he was concerned. It gave them cause to go and have a conversation with them, and I was blown. I was like, whoa, like, first of all, that people are listening, and that it actually has some form of an impact on outside of, I guess, the outside of the group that I thought that it would. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it really brought some things home for me. And we actually have an excerpt from that conversation. It involves Ernest talking about a story where he was in an elevator and trying to navigate being black and with the other people in there and all the processes that went through his mind and stuff at that time. I think it's really interesting. You should get something from it. So let's take a listen.
As a black male, do you guys feel that it's your responsibility to make yourself appear less aggressive? And not only to, you know, I know to women anyway, do you worry about that? To different races, do you worry about that? For example, do you consciously make eye contact, smiles to make women feel less uncomfortable?
So this is Oren speaking. As a black man, I try to make everybody feel comfortable. But I feel like the key is assessing the situation, meeting people where they're at. I'm not going to come into an elevator and automatically toss on the charm. She might not even be paying attention to me. It's unfair for me to assume that it's automatically hostile because I'm in close quarters or because they look different or they smell different or whatever the case may be. And for me to just assume that that's how she's going to feel, I can't do that. So I assess the situation as far as I'm a human being. I'm in close quarters with another human being. What would make me feel comfortable?
Walk into an elevator. Well, back when people were allowed to be in elevators and crowded, again,
yeah, that's dead
whenever.
Now. That's dead.
Right. But like walking into an elevator,
the yonder years of 2020.
Yeah. Face the back of the elevator when everyone else is facing outward. Watch how uncomfortable everybody gets. It's funny. That's right. Like, just face everybody as they're looking out the exit.
But back to what I was trying to say is that I myself have found doing the exact same thing as either one of you at any given time.
Yeah, true story. Like, this is Ernest again. I was in an Uber, and the Uber driver got pulled over, and the officer came and took her information. The first thing I did was put both my hands on the headrest in front of me, and after the officer walked away to run her information, she was like, "You can leave if you want to just call another Uber or something to get back to your house." And I was like, "Lady, I'm not going anywhere until this officer says I can go." And that's just the reality yeah. of the life we live.
Yeah.
And he came back and she asked if I could leave. He said I could leave. And I'm like, "Okay, cool. I'm leaving." But that's just how we live, man. That's how we have to train our children.
It was really powerful, really, really impactful, I think, and much more than I ever gave it credit for. I didn't think it would be, I'll be perfectly honest with you, but it was, and it was awesome. The feedback was really positive, and that's kind of what we're going for, to Absolutely. Push a conversation forward and right. get people thinking, and right. it did just that. So,
yeah. And that's one of the purposes and our focus where our community is concerned, is to put that information out there, because I think we're like less than 1% of the population,
right.
but we're here and we have much to offer. There's so much to learn about us, and this platform has been invaluable. Some of the feedback I've gotten, I've been blown away about, I didn't know that, Sherry. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we're on the right path. Look forward to what we have to offer to the community in the years to come. I think our first season was just a platform or a foundation for what is yet to come. We got our feet wet, the first season, so to speak, mm-hmm. and we're ready to take off. We're excited about it.
Absolutely. And just kind of following up with what Michael, what you said, I had that same feeling about our episode on Growing Up Black in Juno.
That was another one.
That was one of the earlier shows that I was surprised by some of the stories that I heard from my friends who were on that show. And we grew up together. Mm-hmm. We went to the same high school. We had a lot of the same friends, yet we had really, really different experiences. And then to hear the feedback from people who did listen to that show, I felt the same way. Like, number one, wow, I'm surprised that you heard it. And number two, it's really cool that you reached out and you shared what you took away from it and what changed for you because of that show. That was really eye-opening for me.
I think what some of our listeners in disbelief, mm-hmm. some of the events that happened, especially where our children were concerned, that was a good conversation.
Yeah.
That episode. And I did have some parents who reached out to me and said, "Is that teacher still there? I can't believe that happened to that young lady. I mean, how did you guys let that go on?" Well, had we known, we would have spoken up at the time. But this is where we are now. We know some things now. Mm-hmm. And we go forth to ensure that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren do not have to experience those horrifying episodes that happened to some of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And what Sherry's referring to is in that show, Growing Up Black in Juno, Janelle Billingsley particularly shared about her experience as an athlete. Rob Ridgway shared about his experience as an athlete as well. But Janelle had a really pivotal moment in her career, I would say, as a teen athlete, if you can call it that. And she had a lot of challenges with some coaches here. And at the time, and she explained this in the show, that at the time there was no social media. There weren't a lot of avenues to get the word out about what she was experiencing and to get support. And so she basically had her parents, and they ended up moving away from Juno. Despite those challenges, she still ended up breaking a world record. You can actually look her up on Wikipedia. It's very impressive. We're super proud of Janelle. But yeah, we didn't know. We actually can play a little bit of an excerpt from it. I think that that might be valuable for some of our listeners. And so here's just a few moments.
Had a very difficult time with one of my coaches, and it was not my basketball coach, who one of the most positive influences in my life, and I still communicate with him to this day. But the coach that I'm referring to began to demonstrate blatant racist behavior the second week of practice when he saw some of my abilities, and while I was stretching, pulled me aside and told me that the only reason why I was able to do what I was able to do is because I'm essentially, for lack of a better term, anatomically constructed different than other people, and proceeded to tell me that I had an extra muscle that gave me this unfair advantage over my counterparts. This was when I was a freshman in high school. A whole bunch of other things happened along the way, to include this person's refusal of reporting my times. It took a coach from another sport. Actually, I hadn't been in the high school system, so I didn't really know how it worked. Actually getting one of the papers from Anchorage and actually showing me that I'd been leading the list in multiple events, if you will. I think the culminating moment for me was, so I had a lot of issues with this person over the course of my career, despite winning multiple state championships as a freshman. My junior year, when they promised, my parents had a nice talk with them, and they promised that they would give me the opportunity to get more exposure. And this included me being able to do a certain number of events on my own and not being stacked with all of these relay events. And they went back on their word and did not do what they said they were going to do. And it really limited my ability to get some exposure. It was really limiting my opportunities to get a scholarship. And so I had a conversation with my dad after the season was over, and he flat out told me that not only did I have no intention of allowing you to do this your junior year, but I'm not going to let you do it your senior year either. And what choice do you have? At the time, there's only one high school, and you know, you can't go anywhere. You're going to be a senior in this, that, and the other. And so at the end of the summer, after basketball camp, I think we were in Oregon that summer, I came to the East Coast and explored my options. After the first week of high school, I actually left Juno and decided to pursue both my sports on the East Coast, because I flat out refused to be limited and my future to be defined by somebody who was racist.
I would like to maybe, because we've all grown since that time.
For sure.
I would love to have a conversation with Janelle again.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, yeah. So if we could put that on our list of possibilities, I would love to have her back.
For sure. So something that we also want our listeners to know is that we love hearing from you. We love getting feedback. And if there are things that you would like us to do shows on, we would love to know about it. So at the end of this episode, we will share our contact information and you can get a hold of us and let us know. If you're just joining us, I'm Christina Michelle, and I'm here with Michael Patterson and Sherry Patterson. And we are just doing a quick recap on last season's Culture Rich Conversations. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I am joined here by Michael Patterson and Sherry Patterson. Before we went to break, we were talking about some previous shows that we did last season, And Sherry mentioned one of our guests and how she's grown since the episode that she did. That's Janelle Billingsley. And I'm just wondering if we can talk a little bit about growth in general and how all of us have grown and what we've learned since we started doing this show.
I believe that all of us grew in the process. And like I've said before, we did it afraid, had not had any previous experience doing this type of media. And so we jumped on it all the way. We jumped all the way in. And here we are today on our second season. We all found out that we have hidden talent. We have identified several hosts that does excellent hosting of the show every week. And I think for myself, I had been on the radio before and had been interviewed before, but not at this level. So I found out for myself that I like this. I like talking. I like talking about my culture and some of the events that are pivotal to our times and the things that we're experiencing in America and in this world. And I love the fact that we are doing it in a community that listens to us and responds and appreciates the conversation that we have from week to week.
Myself, in the regard that I guess not really learned, but more of confirmed or had some things I had long suspected, that a lot of the things we speak about regarding our own race, we or myself have been guilty of towards others.
That's interesting.
And saying these things, this happened and they thought this. And then sitting back in my own life and being like, situation will come up and I treat that scenario the same way I just spoke about it or just heard somebody else speaking about it in one of our shows. And it's just like, whoa, I got growth to do too. I got learning to do. I got, you know what I'm saying? I got my own part to play in moving the conversation forward and being a solution instead of part of a problem for someone else. Without being too specific, I know every once in a while my son still calls me on toxic masculinity when I say something to him. He's like, that's toxic. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's that. Yeah, he's right. it is, because it's a goal. Just because you do that, it's not like the next day you're like, huh. I know a lot of stuff I said in there was legit, and I still am guilty of it at times. But the fact that he feels comfortable telling me that because he knows that I'm trying to work on it is growth right there. And I hope that this radio show, this everything, will help us as a people, as Black people, move forward in truly trying to educate people out of ignorance, because ignorance is not a bad word. It just means they don't know any better.
Right.
And so if we're not just going to get offended and not say anything, if we just, okay, you don't know, honestly don't know, we're saying something, and then you know, now they know, and then judge the actions off that, just that small section right there of being able to hear it, see a scenario, be in a situation, and feel like people are honestly trying to know something and learn something because they honestly don't know, we're willing to speak with them and tell them this is why it is this way, this is how it is perceived, so on and so forth. If we can continue to do that, I think it bodes well for our community as a whole, because I've definitely found out that our community is certainly willing, and just a lot of people honestly just don't know. And so I'm just glad that I can be a small part to let them know.
I agree with you, Michael. I have been a lot more self-aware about my thoughts about other races, and also just, you know, coming outside of my experience and taking a step to understand what other races have experienced as far as racism as well. And so especially the Alaska Native culture, I have learned so much, and I appreciate those who have come and said, hey, you know, I'd like to share with you that I identify with some of the experiences that you guys are talking about, and this is what happened to me, or this is what's happened to our race as a whole. Even just going down to the library here, the Alaska State Library, and learning a lot of history there has been really eye-opening to me. I'm just more aware. And I would say the same with some of the Asian culture, I didn't realize. And there was like last summer, there was a big thing there was a couple of months where there were Asians who were getting murdered. And I never thought about how they experience racism the same way as we do, too. And so I've grown in that area of just being more aware and more sensitive.
That's good.
Yeah.
When you really put it in perspective, the Alaska Native community, it's because there's so few of us here in this town, right?
Right.
Few of the black people. The Alaska Native community is treated similar to the way the black community is treated in the States.
Right.
Here.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
been the biggest thing for me. It's just like that you take a lot of our experiences and you shift them to Alaska. It's the Alaska Native community that's getting it.
Right.
There's not enough of us really to make it. And so, to be perfectly honest with you, and I had to step back and be like, that's, yeah, all those things you think and yeah. They're doing the exact same thing, man, and they're going through it, and not exactly the same thing, but very similar.
Right,
and it's close enough. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's not just a one thing; it's a systemic issue. The racism as a whole is not just black and white.
Right,
it's really people, and it's just about human dignity and rights, man, like for anybody, and how we all treat each other. So, yeah,
absolutely. So what is your favorite part of producing these shows week to week? I'll start off. I'll just say I really like the end. Like, wait, that didn't come out right. I mean, what I mean is there's a process. And so we have a topic and then we have guests and then we come up with questions for the guests. And sometimes there's a pre-interview before we actually do the recording. And then there's the actual interviewing. And sometimes we do a little bit of editing. And then we have a final version that goes to air. And I like hearing that final version where it's like, oh, my gosh, like there it is. And sometimes I forget how good of a show it was until I listen to it while it's playing because I kind of lost sight of it just doing it and sitting back and actually taking it in as if it's my first time hearing it. That can be very rewarding. So that's what I meant by the end. Yeah.
I enjoy the fact that it's our group, the Black Awareness Association of Juneau, that is producing us along with K2. They've guided us in the process. They've held our hands and still are. And so for that, we're very thankful. But in that process, we have learned a craft that we didn't have before. And like I said, we've all turned into radio producer,
right?
In the process, never dreamed. Didn't know that we had some hidden talent. And like you said, it's a process. And I look at that process. I love seeing things built from the ground up. And each week, that's what we do from the ground up. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time that is spent. All of us have full-time jobs. And so this is, I believe, an act of love where ourselves are concerned, pride in doing this, and then pride and love in presenting it to our community every week. Because this is a lot of work. It really, really is. And I don't think that we knew that going in, but we were still committed to the process. And I see that also in our personal lives, there's a process that goes on and we're being built up every day in an area of our lives and from the ground up. But we are getting there. We're better because of the processes that we go through in our personal lives. So I see that correlation there with producing this radio show and us just becoming better people.
Yeah.
We're better because we've done this. We really are. We're educated. We have something more to offer. And we can take this experience and go elsewhere and continue it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also like to see the growth, I think, in our show as well. Like, since we began, we now have new theme music. Yeah. Specifically for our show, Culture Rich Conversations. And so you've already heard a little bit of it in the intro and just playing in between segments. And so that's really exciting.
We're growing.
Yeah. And We're actually in the studio this season, which is awesome, which means that our sound quality is going to be way better.
Yes.
Yeah. And just some of the guests that we have that we're going to be bringing into the show this season, some topics that we're going to be venturing into that we didn't last season. And I think that's exciting, too, because there's things that we kind of shied away from just getting started and not really wanting to be too controversial or go, I don't want to say too far, but for lack of a better way of saying it, we kind of tempered ourselves on some things. And so I'm excited to go a little bit deeper with some of these yes. topics that we've been talking about. And,
yes.
There'll be richer conversations and that we hope that our listeners will gain much from.
Another thing that I've enjoyed about this is working with, yes, the Black Awareness Association as a whole, but it's brought my family together more. And I love the fact that my daughter-in-love, my son have been pulled into, now I won't say pulled into because that sounds bad, but have decided to be a part of this venture with us. I think that is just so cool. So thank you guys for Christina, Kelly, Michael, for being a part of this process that we present to our community every week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I would say also getting to know the KTOO staff has been amazing as well. So
yes.
I had always heard of Rhonda McBride, but I had no idea of the fullness of who she is and just how amazing she is. The guidance, the insight, the feedback, her professionalism. There's just so much that she's done behind the scenes with us to help us do what we're doing. And it's just been an honor and a pleasure to work with her. And I think we all can agree we're excited to continue that.
And I say amen to that.
and also Cheryl Snyder. We had this moment during the 4th of July parade last year where I was driving the vehicle that BAA used to be in the parade. And we had stopped to hand out candy. And Cheryl came running from the crowd. And she just like jumped through the window to hug me. And like I just had tears. And I didn't even realize like how much there was there where it's like, oh my gosh, like it's like we've formed this connection,
yes.
you know, this beautiful partnership. And it was just a really cool experience. Like I didn't want to let her go. And I don't think she wanted to let me go either. But we had to catch up with the other cars in front of us. So, but yeah, that's been an incredible part of this journey too.
Yeah.
So moving forward, what are some show topics that you guys would like to hear, Sherry and Michael, and be a part of, I should say? And I'll say for me, we've gotten quite a few requests to actually do something on the Black voters' rights.
Yes.
The suppression of the Black voters' rights. And so that is a subject that we'll be exploring and talking about in this coming season. Also, Black human trafficking. That is a topic that is really near and dear to my heart. And we have a couple of guests who are experts in this subject and who run nonprofit organizations to help Black women specifically who are coming out of human trafficking. And one that is also I'm super excited about is Black hair. And I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago about like what are five things that you should never say to a Black person about their hair or never ask. And the feedback was really, really funny. There were like so many people were like, oh my gosh, when are you doing this show? I have so many things to say about this. And my Black friends, they were like, when are you doing the show? Because I want to talk about it. And then my Caucasian friends were like, please send me this show when it airs because I want to learn. And I was like, oh boy, this is a hot one. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I think we can go a lot of different ways with that because we've been contacted as a group by non-Black families who have adopted Black kids and don't know what to do with their hair.
Yeah.
And so I think this one is overdue.
Yeah.
I think this will be a hot one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael, did you have any topics that you're excited about?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily topics. I like to see some more of the more male voices.
Oh, yes, yes.
In black, great, male, period. And it, more of a mix there. I think we missed an opportunity when we did it with me, Ernest, and Oren. I think we missed an opportunity there to have a couple more gentlemen there of a different race. I think it would have been great to have a couple different perspectives even from that. It was great, but it would have been a nice variety to have a little bit more there. So I've been told we're looking to go in that direction, and I'm excited for that. Out of fear of alienating people, I know we kind of, like you said, have pulled back on some topics, and I feel we should dive into them. You never know who's going to feel what, but we're trying to be honest. And right, I think that's something that we really are pushing for is honest review, honest feedback, honest topics, and honest thoughts on them. I look forward to the second season kind of coming into our own, of us being able to, or being at least courageous enough to go a little full force on some of those. I know it's a lot of societal issues going on. The world is a topic. Take your pick. It doesn't matter. Anywhere you look, there's something there, and it affects us all. And so I'd like to just I like to see us be a little bit more courageous in that area and kind of dive in.
I believe that a topic that we need to discuss, and we did not get there last year, was white privilege. And that's a topic that we have been asked to talk about.
So there's a collective, silent gasp here when she says that, just so you know.
Yeah, but it's real. I think that a lot of non-blacks don't believe that it exists.
Honestly explaining how, because it's not, it's there, but I think we could be careful about it because it is there. I'm sorry, to cut you off there. It is. but it's, if we can explain
what it is,
it's not a slap in the face.
No,
it's
not at all.
It's just advantages that are given based off that. That's a systemic.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is.
Right. And we need to go there. We've been asked by many of our white friends to explain it and discuss it because they want to know more. So that's one topic we need to go to.
Yeah, and I think even the fact that when you said that, us in the room, we were all like,
did you say that?
Right.
Show over. All right.
And they did, you guys. They really did.
And that's it, folks.
Yeah, that speaks volumes to the fact that it's there. And why should we be afraid to talk about what's happening when it's
real?
It's happening to us.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, and it is very real. But you're right. We have had a lot of requests to go deeper into that.
Yes.
And so, you know, as we grow, we're more comfortable.
Yes.
And so we'll be exploring these topics further.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, why don't you have your pens and pencils ready? Because we are going to share our contact information. And that way you can get in touch with us with your comments and your suggestions for future shows. So we'll be right back with you. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. Today we have just had a wonderful time kicking off our new season. We're really, really excited about all the things that are coming up in the episodes to follow. And we appreciate you for being here with us. And we look forward to hearing the feedback that you have. And as we mentioned before, the topics that you're interested in hearing more from us about. So I'll go ahead and share how you can reach us. Our email address is junobaa@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook by just searching JunoBAA. And if you would like to mail something to us, our address is P.O. Box 33734, Juneau, Alaska 99804. 3. So once again, I've been your host, Christina Michelle, and we've had Michael Patterson and Sherry Patterson here with us today. We're super excited to bring in some more members of the Black Awareness Association as we move forward with our episodes coming up. And Michael, Sherry, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Thank you for having me. Look forward to an awesome second season, and that's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your support, Juno. And we look forward to bringing you great shows in the weeks to come.
All right. Thank you. And until next week, be well, and we'll see you then. Bye.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klinkit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit kto.org/JunoAfternoon.